Good morning, everybody. I trust that as we come to the end of the week, you have many, many things to thank the Lord for, and that the cares of life have not overwhelmed you. They certainly have a way of doing that. Every Christian understands, no matter how mature, scriptural that believer is, he knows what it is to just be dogged by constant troubles and matters that he has to give his attention to, earthly things, not necessarily sinful things at all, just the things connected to living with, in a fallen world and in a body that is so subject to infirmity, and the relational matters of life that have so many little thorns to them, the cares of life. The Lord talks about these things. And it's really along that line that I want to call your attention this morning to a statement in the 8th chapter of Romans and the 6th verse, where the Apostle Paul speaks of what it is to be carnally minded. That's the King James translation of it. Or to be spiritually minded. To be carnally minded. The New American Standard translates that the mind set on the flesh. To be spiritually minded. New American Standard translates that the mind set on the Spirit, with a capital S, the Spirit of God. Now, the thing that I want to point out is this wonderful statement that to be spiritually minded, or to have our mind set upon the Spirit of God, is life and peace. And I want to read to you a number of assessments of that and explanations of it that come from writers of the past. I'm hoping that the accumulation of these will help to meet a need today. Charles Hodge, the Presbyterian commentator of the 19th century, Princeton University professor, Hodge wrote that spiritual mindedness is the state of mind that manifests itself in making the things of the Spirit the great object of thought, desire, and pursuit. All right, we think about the things of God, and we have this great longing for them, and because of that, we pursue them. Now, what does the Scripture say? That to do that is life and peace. To think upon the things of God is peace. To long for those things brings peace. To pursue those things will give great calm to our souls. What are the things of the Spirit, or the things of God? And Hodge just states so simply, these are the things concerning Christ. Thinking upon Him, His promises, what He is to us, what He's forgiven us of, what He's pledged Himself to be, all this, I'm just elaborating here, is what gives peace to our souls. We know that. We've experienced that, all of us. Why do we not deliberately, intentionally turn our minds more and more to Jesus Christ, His interests, and His kingdom? David Martin Lloyd-Jones says it's absolutely essential that we do this, that we have a spiritual mind and a spiritual outlook. He remarks, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and though we've become Christians, the deadness still tends to remain and to afflict us. Do we need any proof of that? Again, I'm enlarging for a moment. Lloyd-Jones says, here's an evidence that that's true, that the deadness is there. Isn't it difficult at times to arouse ourselves spiritually? Of course it is. And he says it is the Holy Spirit who enlivens us and quickens us and disturbs us and moves us and stimulates us, moves our carnal minds to think spiritually. So that's a matter for prayer, just to turn and call upon the Spirit of God to exercise His gracious office in our souls and to do this for us. I want to read to you a more extended portion now from the late 18th century and early 19th century minister Charles Simeon. Some of you have been at King's College Chapel in Cambridge on our England and Scotland tours, and we always go to the little spot in the chapel there, back in the nave, where there's just a emblem on the floor. It says C.S., Charles Simeon. He's buried right in the floor there, King's College Chapel. It's because he was a graduate of Cambridge, and he pastored there in Cambridge many, many years. I want to read to you what he has to say about carnal and spiritual minds. He says, "The world in general is much mistaken with respect to the means of solid happiness. It seeks the vanities of time and sense in hopes of finding satisfaction, and it shuns biblical Christianity under the idea that biblical Christianity would make it melancholy. But actually, Proverbs 13:15 says the way of transgressors is hard. And Proverbs 3:17 says that the ways of religion, godliness, afford peace and pleasure." He says, "By the carnal mind, we understand that principle of our fallen nature that loves and idolizes carnal or fleshly things. The spiritual mind, on the other hand, has to do with the principle that leads the soul to spiritual objects." And he says, "The difference between these two principles at work in us is discoverable in our thoughts." And that's true all day long today. Whether we are loving and idolizing carnal things, fleshly things, or whether we are truly loving and taken up with spiritual things. And Simeon does make this distinction. He says that our occupations in life, of course, do give direction to our minds. And of necessity, we're very often taken up many, many hours a day with those kinds of things. And he also says there are particular occasions. Well, those would be times of crisis or illness or special need in someone else's life, and we have to fly to their aid. Or there might be a great celebration of a birthday or some other event in national life and so on that directs our attention certainly to the things of life here, the buying of a house, the seeding of your lawn, the planting of a garden, all those kinds of things. Okay. Of necessity, we give our minds to those kinds of things. But he goes on and says, "The thoughts naturally fix on the objects that are best suited to whatever the reigning principle is in our life." Is the reigning principle the Spirit of God? Is the reigning principle our flesh? He says, "Our thoughts will fix on objects that are best suited to whatever that reigning principle is. And to these objects, they return again and again and again with frequency and fervor and great delight. If we're under the dominion of a fleshly principle, then we'll be thinking of some pleasure or profit or honor or worldly vanity. If we're led by a spiritual principle, then God and Christ and the concerns of our soul will occupy our minds." And he goes on and says that those principles, either of the flesh or the spirit, will also operate on our affections. Those things that we really set our longing upon. What we would call truly our love in life. Now, he says that happy people are people who really differ from other people. That happy people adore the grace that God has given to them, and they endeavor to improve the grace of God in their life through their spirituality of mind. And he cautions us against relapses back to carnal mindedness. He says, that will destroy your peace. So let your eyes be fixed upon truly the things of God. And folks, this of course is why it's tremendously important to begin your day with God's Word and with a time of prayer, with some scripture memory, with some reading of something that's really spiritually edifying. You don't need to be a great reader or just an instinctive reader in order to read some good things. This is just a spiritual habit that you develop. And you can read a paragraph a day of something that's spiritually edifying, a good biography, a good devotional, one of these books that is on our five-year reading program, just a paragraph or two a day. There are many, many times when in the morning I will just confine my reading like that to a page or less. I'll just use this as an illustration. I'm sitting here. I've been reading through Richard Sibbes' The Bruised Reed. And let's see, I read 1, 2, 3, 4. I read about 5 paragraphs of that this morning. That was maybe a page and a half. And then there was one sentence that I wrote in the margin of my Bible next to a verse. Now, that doesn't take long. And the thing about really profiting from reading like that is to just read slowly and comprehend what you're reading. Lots of times people get very discouraged with reading because maybe they're just reading along on the surface of things and they're not stopping sometimes to read that sentence twice, read those lines a couple more times, take it in, just let it kind of percolate down into your spirit. You won't believe. Well, I know you do believe, but it is amazing how that brings calm to your spirit. It completely changes the lens through which you look at all the cares of life. They just shrink. They truly do. And if we don't do this, if we don't deliberately, intentionally turn to the things of the Spirit of God, and really season our spirit with them at the beginning of the day, then it's no wonder that we just are so overwhelmed with fears and anxiety about the future and the present weight of life. Now, I'm not speaking to you at all here today as someone who just practices this as consistently and perfectly as I ought. I'm speaking to you as a fellow Christian, beset with all the same infirmities of life, and telling you this is the only way that I know, both scripturally and experientially, to be able to walk with the Lord and to enjoy the peace of God in my heart throughout the day. And if this is something that you really need to turn your attention to now and begin to practice and begin to learn how to do, then you have a wonderful experience in front of you. There's so much that you're going to start to be blessed by and that you will be strengthened in your faith by. And I pray for you and pray for us that the Lord would help us to be more and more spiritually minded, which is life and peace, God says.